Hello and welcome to the Rise of Skywalker spoiler cast from your friends here at Gigaboots. This spoiler cast is for a movie and not a game, ergo it's a legend and not officially canon, as we wouldn't want to intermingle our scoring methods between video games and movies. That just seems hilarious. But, you know, we've all gathered here to talk about this. We have the usual suspects. Mr. Feel from Mr. Feel's Wild Ride.
Hello.
KZ from KZExcellent.com.
For more context on the spoiler cast, you can find out in Fortnite.
Oh, man, I thought this was going to go in a Destiny direction. Go check the lore cards. And
it's unfortunate.
We also have Bob from Gigaboots.com.
Hey, guys, how's it going?
And I'm your host, Dan Video Games. Thanks for joining us. We intend to talk about many things in this while giving it a general review, you know, talking about our feelings with it. And we're going to use the same score we use for video games around here, which is a Famitsu-style score. Each of us will be able to give up to 10 points, and then we will add that together to see something. I don't know what, since this isn't a video game, but we'll see something. You know, normally we try to prepare a funny bit at the beginning. Maybe a summary of sorts, but we have not done that. That will not be a thing today.
We don't do that for spoiler casts.
We're pretty inconsistent about this, if you want to be real. We've done it for some and didn't do it for others. It's pretty great.
I don't think we've done it for the last bunch. I think we've done this bit where you throw it to me for that, but I don't have anything.
But I didn't throw it this time. Once again, Phil isn't prepared.
Okay. Star Hets, Rise of Hetwalker is a 2019 movie by Disney wherein J.J. Abrams slowly crushes Rian Johnson under the treads of his gigantic tank, all while forcing several characters to be heterosexual at gunpoint.
Jesus.
So, Dan, what do you...
What did you think... What did you think of Star Hets, Rise of Hetwalker?
I'm passing out.
Star Wars Episode 9, The Rise of Skywalker, was a film. It was ascendant above movie-shaped things and forms of film, but everything other than that is up in the air. Was there a through line? What's the theme? Why is Palpatine so goddamn powerful? I'll be wondering about these things for a while.
Him in Fortnite.
I'm going to go ahead and give this movie a 7 because it is very entertaining, but it also is bad.
Yeah.
I spent most of the movie laughing at it and not because of the jokes it was making. Sometimes because of the jokes it was making, but not most of the time.
I said on Twitter almost nobody was in my theater. It was good because I don't think I have ever laughed inappropriately at a movie more.
And I can't wait to figure out which things you laughed at.
We were sitting way too close to other people and I felt bad every time I cackled. But the moment it opens with the text crawl, it's like a ghost transmission from Palpatine. I'm like, fucking shit.
No, the opening line, the dead speak.
Yes, no, yes. That was when it happened.
It was
that got me. That is the Fortnite thing.
I yelped.
But the moment I started cackling aloud and almost didn't stop for 2.5 hours was when almost immediately Palpatine quotes episode 3.
Yes.
It's like his second line in the movie.
I'm surprised the text crawl didn't open with Monster Mash lives.
It should have opened with Rian Johnson found dead in Miami.
Oh no, Baby Yoda's down there. Please tell me Baby Yoda didn't do it.
It was for the best.
No. So, hey, Bob.
Hey, what's up?
You want to give your review?
Sure.
Sure, let's do that.
Okay. This movie's insane. I was most of the time I spent looking over at Dan like, are they really doing this? Okay. It's ludicrous. It's moving at 100 miles an hour, and it probably should have been 2 movies. Like, that's all I can think of for why it moves as fast as it does.
Right.
But I enjoyed it because of that. Like, it's a very entertaining movie.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's important.
Yes, being entertaining as a film is important.
Very much. Unlike The Last Jedi, it's not just dreadful most of the time. And its attempts at humor are actually good and fitting in with the tone of the movie.
Yeah, that's... Yeah.
So I'm going to give it an 8.
Okay.
Just because it was a wild ride. I would definitely be up for seeing it again just because there's so much in it.
Well, Bob,
you can't take it all in one viewing.
Yeah, Bob, you got to wait for the home release where they have a 4-hour version of this film.
It probably... That's the version where characters speak at a normal pace, and it doesn't sound like they're speed running the film.
I now understand what those reviews were talking about when it comes to the first 40 minutes of this film.
They were hype, yeah.
Yeah, they were real fucking hitting the ground running.
I don't think it ever stopped.
It slowed down to an almost normal degree eventually.
It's slowed down from heart attack to asthma attack.
Yes! I think that's crucial.
I think we'll go ahead and go to Phil next for his review and score.
Star Wars The Rise of Skywalker is a bad movie, but unlike The Last Jedi, where the bad parts made me want to kill myself, this might be the most hackish movie ever made. And all of the hackish parts are delightful, and much like The Last Jedi, there were parts of this that I thought were genuinely cool. So it has the genuinely cool parts, and then the parts that are actually entertaining instead of making me want to die. So I'm going to give it an 8, like Bob.
Okay. I totally see eye to eye with you on that. There are various moments that, as Bob said, he spent most of the film going, is this really happening? And then there are a lot of moments where you go, this is really cool.
Oh, man, that's pretty cool.
They actually did an emotional moment there, and then it wasn't awful.
Yeah. Always good to do that. KZ, let me go ahead and get your review and score.
Star Wars The Rise of Skywalker has the energy of a shonen battle manga that's getting canceled, and it has to do everything as quickly as possible.
Yes,
it does. That's right. Like the last 5 chapters of Bleach.
Yes, they got 5 weeks left. We need to get this shit done. The first 40 minutes is just, all right, do this. That means, yeah, we're going. All right, don't talk. We have to go. It was delightful. Even the schlocky fan service stuff, I'm like, this is great. I love this. They're playing the music. They're making my heartbeat go faster. This is really exciting. It devolves to Dragon Ball Z power level struggles at some point. I don't know what's happening. Finally, after the first Star Wars film has come out since 2015, I loved this. I'm giving it an 8. I would give it a higher score, but this shit's a mess.
It is a mess. But even the hackiest, stupidest fan service shit is still hilarious in how blatant it is.
Yes. I don't give a shit. It's so fun.
Like the bit, the sing, and I'm jumping way the fuck ahead here to the end.
Sure. No reason to talk about this in order.
The part where, I don't even remember her name, Girl Yoda, the character that was Rey's Yoda in The Force Awakens.
Oh, Maz?
Yeah. Yes. When she just hands Chewie a medal because it was a meme for a little bit that Chewie didn't get a medal in Episode 4 and people were upset.
I forgot about that.
She's just like, here's a medal.
That is incredible because that implies that, one, she's like, I love that Wookiee. So clearly they have a thing going on. That means that he had to tell, they never gave me a fucking medal, these fucking motherfuckers. You know he had to dish about that at some point.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. There's no way Chewbacca, what's the word, minced words? Pretty sure loudly complains about everything.
Yes.
But yeah, okay, I see where everyone's coming from with their scores. It has a lot of energy in common with, well, I don't know, the difference between going to a real restaurant and getting a dish and being like, what a finely orchestrated meal you've put in front of me, and you drunkenly going to the buffet at a Golden Corral and stacking your steak on top of your mashed potatoes with mushrooms on it and 7 bread rolls. It's just like, this has got a lot of cool shit in it, man, but damn.
This is the equivalent of going to a fancy restaurant, but you don't have to pay, so you're just taking everything. You're just taking all of it, and none of it really makes sense.
This is like, this is like you work for like one of those soulless Silicon Valley companies, and you get to go to their Christmas party where they spent way too much money to flex, and it's like, I'm not even hungry, but sure, I'll eat 8 desserts. I'll eat 1 bite of each.
I'm putting some in my pockets.
Yeah. Yeah. So it sounds like a GameStop.com kegger back in the day. Or GameSpot, sorry. Damn, I always switch those. So, Jesus Christ, what a mess of a film. How the fuck are we gonna... okay, I'm gonna kill myself if I don't get this opinion out there.
Sure.
When revisiting The Force Awakens, I was pretty floored by how good the composition was and the general sense of cinematography. Like, all the camera movements are very energetic, and they work well to convey an emotion in the moment. Like, you know, someone searching the horizon for someone, they do a very deep, long shot with a compressed sense of depth of field, and they do a tracking pan. That is very cool. They do that again in this movie. When I went and watched The Last Jedi, recently, because we have an episode of Cursed Content Club for that, I expected to see something more like that because of how many times I, you know, hear people say the cinematography is good in that, which I did not understand upon my first viewing. And upon my second viewing, it's bullshit. It is just some bullshit people started saying because they like the movie.
We got to puff up everything we can get here.
That's basically how I feel about it. Like, if you like The Last Jedi, that's whatever. But sitting there and saying it has incredible cinematography just seems really off the mark for me. Watching this, it yet again had really good cinematography. And this is coming from a person who didn't like the cinematography in, the Star Trek movies Abrams did. There's just a much better sense of colorful compositions and stuff here with the environments and the characters juxtaposed on them. You know, there's a lot of that. Like, you know, Rey steps out. What is it? I'm terrible with the planet names in Star Wars. I believe it's Kajik. She steps out of the house in Kajik, and the fucking composition of the thunderous sky with the Star Destroyer in it and her in the lower right corner. Like, shots like that look so good throughout this film. Now, imagine if they could accomplish that for writing.
Yeah. That'd be a...
Like even a single miracle. Sentence you heard and you went, oh, that's clever.
Look, it doesn't need to be clever. Palpatine laughed and shot lightning at everyone in the universe.
He got a lot of lightning.
Guys, I cannot understate how much I nearly died trying to hold back my laughter in that theater when Palpatine used the new level of force lightning, ear rape lightning.
Gunstep lightning.
Yes. That was just a fucking YouTube poop video.
It was amazing.
I lost my shit. I'm like, there's nothing but bass in this sound.
Fire up the bass cannon.
Don't talk about the music video energy that exists in this film. Like, many times they're like, we're gonna show the Knights of Ren the most useful characters on Earth. They're gonna be on a canyon, we're gonna spin around it. And it's like, this is just like a fucking music video ass shit. They're not doing anything.
Yeah, no, they were...
Exogar, is that the name of the...
Exegol.
Exegol is just a music video planet. And when Kylo Ren lands there in the opening, I'm like, man, the entrance to that castle looks sick, though.
You expected, you expected them to land on that planet, and then someone on a light cycle comes up to help them like it's Tron? Like, it's all so insane, and I honestly love Exegol. That was so fucking dope.
Exegol is great looking.
It's really raw. It has, like, giant this statues, tanks full of extra bodies for freaking...
Oh, yeah. Like, we had all those...
Snoke.
Snoke, yeah.
Yeah,
Snoke
we had
tank.
All those Snoke tanks.
So they're like, we're gonna answer all these things in the first 2 minutes of the film. I did that. Look at this tank. Hello. I'll tell you everything except how I'm alive, which I believe is very brave of them to not even attempt to try.
Clones? Question mark?
I mean, clone. Horse ghost, I guess.
He's take possessing a clone?
I guess.
A clone with, like, fucked up fingers that have to regenerate later in the movie.
It seems more like they literally dug his ass out of the...
Yeah, maybe the whole...
Death Star remnants.
Implication is that, yeah, I know, he survived that. Being shown into the reactor and everything. Like, the Dark Force kept him alive.
Yeah, somehow.
Yeah, because he has to suck the life essence out of those two toward the end, and then he gets his
really
pupils back, which... I'm having a realization that his situation's the same as Gruntilda and Banjo-Tooie, where he's got to get all his life force and powers back. No wonder I like this.
Well, I'd love to fight you as Rey alone.
This film was very video gamey. That was a good final level. There was a lot of side quests. Collectibles.
When Rey heals the snake and then it leaves showing the entrance. That's a video game level.
Yeah.
Accidentally specced into Force Lightning.
God. That looked hilarious.
This movie has an incredibly strong The Force Unleashed energy.
Yes, it does. They have a power struggle trying to pull a ship down.
That was all I could think of was the fucking Force Unleashed.
And that was
scenes
that,
when that was happening.
That's the moment when I went, holy shit, Abrams wrote a movie that segues us directly into the extended universe. Just ridiculous fucking force powers that are like, you could close the black hole. Why couldn't you?
That was the moment I went, is this going to become Dragon Ball Z at some point? Is this happening? Are they going to start flying?
The only difference, the only thing that makes a knock DBZ is at the end, when she's using all the powers from all the Jedi from all time, they should have done this. They should have all the Force Ghosts behind her, kind of like Gohan doing the Kamehameha kill cell.
Like the family Kamehameha.
Yes,
they absolutely should have. They kind of did. You heard all their voices, including J.J. Abrams revealed Ahsoka, the protagonist of the Clone Wars cartoon.
Yes.
Was one of the voices.
Oh my fucking God, yes.
When I heard that, I was like, you did not actually fucking pull all of these characters. So, apparently one of the ships toward the end is from the Rebels show as well.
When I heard that voice that I didn't recognize, that's what I assumed had happened. So that's really cool that is the case, that it is Ahsoka or whatever, Ahsoka.
Mm-hmm.
That's ridiculous.
I don't think it could be understated that what I may term for now, in my opinion, the most raw thing I've ever seen in a movie theater, Palpatine effortlessly lifting an entire legion of Star Destroyers from the ground. I did not know that was going to happen.
In the first five minutes of the film.
I almost yelled. I've never been more excited. I started shaking. I'm like, what in the fuck is this movie going to be?
Bob and I started vibrating so fast, we started slipping out of this dimension.
I was like, man, you must have heard how bored we were watching The Last Jedi a few weeks ago.
This shit
and then
was
right
insane.
After that, they go to Kingdom Hearts.
that's the first thing I thought of when Finn and Poe go to like the ice platform in space. Mm-hmm. Like, that looks like a fucking Kingdom Hearts world.
I guess it kind of does, doesn't it?
God.
And then that guy dies.
That whole sequence was really good with the, they're like light speed hopping. So they're just jumping to different planets, but the TIEs have that.
Light skipping, they say.
Yeah, light skipping, where they were doing that and the TIEs were chasing after them because I guess they were bringing over the continuity from the last film of they can just do it. They know where you're going.
Which makes it even more funny that the last movie was they know where you're going. But every one of our starships can do this. How are you guys saying in one line? What's wrong with your mind?
But they know where we're going, so instead of, you know, hyperspace jumping to in multiple different directions because the universe is more than a two-dimensional plane, we're just going to sit here and get chronic depression for an entire film.
God, that,
so,
I'm surprised they didn't use that sequence to show planets we've seen before. Like, just, here's your cameo for Naboo or some shit.
I expected that too. I was delighted that they didn't just showed us a bunch of cool looking shit.
Mm-hmm.
I fully expected because it's a thing in the even the new EU that one of the things Palpatine does is help in the extended universe that's still canon, you know, the stuff that isn't Legends now. Palpatine had a series of things that would happen if he ever died.
I love those.
And one of them was just send this fleet of mirror ships that turn sunlight into death rays. Just fuck Naboo. Burn Naboo to the ground. Fuck that place.
What?
So I was really sure when they show that Sith Star Destroyer, which, by the way, it was great that Sheev got all the new skins for his stuff from Fortnite.
yeah, very proud.
I thought he was going to blow up Naboo.
I like how Star Destroyers are just Death Stars now, so they were able to put in 10,000 Death Stars in one film.
It was very good.
That was the hackiest. That was the hackiest part of the movie. I laughed the hardest at, where it's like every one of these have a planet eradicating cannon.
It was really good.
I thought
good.
That was great because I'm like, I get it. It's shown in power scaling. Of course they can do that now.
Now I have to ask, which way that Abrams shot The Last Jedi in the head did you like the most? I'm going to list a bunch of moments I noticed.
Sure.
I knew you'd have this prepared. I knew it.
Rose basically saying, I'm not popular, so I'll stay here doing nothing the entire movie.
Oh.
That was some good. That was good.
No, it wasn't. Whatever.
One of the pilots mentioning the Holdo maneuver, meaning what Admiral Holdo did, and another character immediately saying, no, that's fucking stupid and never works.
No, it's a one in a million shot. We wouldn't be able to manage that. I respect that one because it didn't seem insulting.
It didn't seem insulting, and it props up Holdo as being able to land a one in a million shot.
Yes.
Rey throwing the lightsaber into the burning ship and Ghost Luke catching it, walking out and saying, this thing's really important. You better not throw it away.
I don't care what the rest of your list is. That's mine.
that's probably mine, but I really appreciate them putting a lot of work into masking it as Luke character development.
I didn't get that at all.
I mean, his whole thing there is like, no, I was wrong. Everything I did in the last film was wrong. I should have been more proactive. I shouldn't throw lightsaber.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's exactly what he says, and it's really...
That's like the whole point of his big scene there, of just like, no, don't be a dumb hermit over here.
God, to find out...
That has to be it. My mouth fell open in the theater.
Yeah.
Everything else, you know, I was like, okay, whatever. Like, of course they're not going to use Rose here. She has, like, no character. They didn't really write much of a character there with, like... dimensions.
They started to write a character there, and then they reduced her to, you know, not a character, and that's unfortunate.
Yeah, she was mostly in the previous film really lawful good. There wasn't really much depth to that besides just gonna do the right thing. I don't like these bad guys. That's it. People shouldn't die. I'm gonna crash into you and almost kill you. We're gonna earn this kiss, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Bob, you had some stuff to say about lightsaber ghost baby.
The insanity that is, we find out in this movie, Luke was tracking down Palpatine, and then for no reason, he just sits on a planet in a hermit's away. That's insane. That makes the last movie even more insane.
He's very upset.
The way that I made peace with it in my mind is like, he didn't know he was looking for Palpatine. He thought he was just looking for this Sith world, like, that would be important for me to keep tabs on.
Yeah.
And then he fucks up with the new Jedi Order and then goes into exile from that. But that would mean that Lando just hung out on that one planet for, like, a decade.
Yeah, I assume that he went and did something else and came back, but I don't know why he came back. It's weird.
Oh, here's the act. I said this might be like the dumbest thing in the movie. The one thing where it's like this pushes past being entertaining into being actually kind of stupid.
the dagger. The dagger showing where the Wayfinder is in the wreckage of the Death Star.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they made the dagger after that, after it crashed.
You have to use the Force to be able to know how to set it up, though.
Does Abrams have, like, a weird boner for magic maps? Because that was also in The Force Awakens.
I'm a big fan of the movie National Treasure, so I thought this was wonderful.
That was exactly how it felt. It felt like National Treasure.
I feel like, as amazing as it sounds, the knife map to the inside of the broken Death Star makes... It's a bit more swallowable as a plot element than the weird splitting up of the map to find Luke in The Force Awakens. Like, there isn't a reason
or
R2 wakes up at that exact moment and a bunch of other things like that. Exactly. So this was more tolerable than that, in my opinion, but that doesn't mean it makes sense per se.
The other like big dumb thing that I didn't appreciate a whole lot was the contrived drama with C-3PO.
What are you talking about?
I feel like that was played up more for jokes than anything else, so I liked it.
They tried to do both, but just, sorry, I can't help you save the universe because the Senate passed a law.
Oh, yeah, that angle. I think that could be a thing. The prequels have a lot of weird shit in them. That political environment, I could absolutely see passing this absolutely insane law. Like, so
it's hard programmed in. Anakin put it in there at a deep level when he made 3PO.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, they do the check, and if they don't pass the check, like if they're willing to, then they just destroy them, right? Like it's a law of robotics at this point. You can't translate these, otherwise you get destroyed.
I don't think I was the biggest fan of C-3PO in a lot of these movies, you know, but I really liked him here. Just his bits throughout the film were pretty good.
He was pretty good in this.
The fact that he said, "Wait, I figured out something else," right as they turn him off.
Yeah. He talks to
the little goblin man and goes, "Hey, it's my oldest friend, this little guy."
Yeah, no, it's...
And then the little guy looks absolutely terrible. His effect isn't good at all.
It's really good, though.
It's so good.
The puppet is a really good puppet.
It looks
slightly better than young Leia in the flashback where she's training with Luke.
Jesus Christ.
That PS3 game cutscene was really good, okay?
Where she lifts up her helmet and it looks about as good as the guy from Other M going, "Remember me?"
I guess if we're going to talk about Leia,
before we can totally move on to the Leia thing, I just want to get out. I think this is the best C-3PO has ever been. Funniest joke in all of Star Wars is no longer Obi-Wan landing in episode three and going, "Oh, hello there." It is now C-3PO speaking an alien language to a stormtrooper, the stormtrooper going, "That's not a language," and then getting owned.
Okay, I didn't know if you were going to pick that or, "Don't worry, I'm here too. You didn't ask, but I want you to know I'm okay."
That was my favorite.
Those made me laugh so hard. The thing I mentioned had a very D&D energy to it of like, "Oh shit, I need to pass this encounter. Let's try to confuse them."
It was that and him saying, "R2 ain't shit. He won't do my memory stuff right." And I'm like, of course he's going to do it right.
When they were first bringing 3PO with them, I was like, why is he even coming? This is weird. Did JJ just want to make a movie that had 3PO? He didn't get to do that?
And by the end of it, you knew damn well.
Choice.
Yes.
He knows better than I do because I wouldn't have fucking done that.
Fucking Abrams had up a notepad full of jokes he didn't get to make in The Force Awakens. He's like, "Today's the day.
I missed that arm."
I enjoyed Finn and Poe playing chess with Chewie, though.
Wait, one more thing on 3PO.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure if that poster that came out super early was real, so the whole movie I was kind of waiting for 3PO to have a machine gun.
that trailer where he's got like a minigun and he's got the red eyes and everyone's like,
"Yeah,
is he going sicko mode? Is this what's happening right now? Is he gonna kill Kylo Ren?"
would have been really raw.
No, he doesn't kill Ren. He kills Palpatine.
Your mind tricks won't work on me, human.
C-3PO's just there. And he's like, oh my, I got lost. And then he hears all the Jedi voices. They're like, 1,000 years of Jedi live in you now. And he's just like, what? Oh, okay. Picks up lightsaber clumsily.
You mentioned the Chewie chest thing, which reminded me of just Chewie in general.
Chewie was real good in this movie.
It gave me a new reason to be disappointed at the previous film, and that he went with Rey to go see Luke. And I'm like, oh yeah, they just had nothing to do for him in that movie. And
Luke even talk to Chewie?
Yeah, once. He goes, Chewie, what are you doing here?
Oh yeah, he talks like once.
Yeah, like she gets Chewie to break open the door.
Yeah.
And there's like a scene where he's like eating a rotisserie porg or something.
Mm-hmm.
But in this
movie,
I was
not happy that we got another porg shot in this movie.
It's okay. But he was an actual character in this with plenty of stuff going on. He had, I think, one of the best emotional beats in the whole film.
Yes. I think so.
He got a medal.
It's almost like the last movie was written by someone who didn't care about any of the Star Wars characters or canon. I know, it seems crazy. Why would Disney let that happen?
Bob, you don't understand. Like, the last film, The Last Jedi, properly delivered on Rey's arc, and this movie destroyed that. And you need to hate this entire film because it did that. Not the second one threw away the first one's arc and came up with its own thing. That is not what happened here. Now is the correct time to be upset. Years ago when that came out was the incorrect time to be upset.
I see. I should just...
So many possibilities from The Last Jedi. Like getting fucked.
I still just look at the end result of The Last Jedi and even I go, how the fuck do you write a sequel to this? Like, I just...
Putting two movies in one movie.
Right. Yeah, like, but having an absolutely schizophrenic power level and fucking pacing.
I'm going to be real. Shit. If they had opened on a 5-minute scene where Luke dies and Kylo Ren kills Snoke, The Last Jedi just wouldn't have to exist. This is almost Abrams episode 8 and 9.
Yeah, I really do wish there was a 4-hour version of this movie so that way it had more build up for things.
I kind of wish there was just a different movie that came out like 2 years ago.
Yeah, and that would really solve that problem, wouldn't it?
Weird, I know.
It'd be great if the trilogy had some sort of vision at the beginning of it. Bob, could you imagine how much of a nightmare it'd be if the second and third Matrix films weren't even written at the same time and had different directors?
I mean, those movies are already nightmarishly bad.
Exactly. Imagine how much worse it could get.
If someone else wrote the second movie and then the first person came back and had the rubber band, it would have turned out better somehow. I'm not sure.
I mean, that could have helped the third movie. But,
the third movie, not the second movie.
You know, I think the Leia thing was funny because Rogue One's Leia CGI was so rough that they decided they were training at night in a forest where everything's real blue. Please
right.
Do not judge the CGI.
And it still looked bad.
Yes, it did.
It still looked bad.
As it turns out,
can't wait
not
to see
easy.
That on Blu-ray.
Can't wait to see.
Another thing that I think looked kind of bad was the very video gamey shot of Rey at the beginning where the rocks are orbiting her.
Yeah, the rocks look bad still. I don't know. I got from the end of The Last Jedi, I guess.
I was mostly laughing because I imagined, are we doing the Magneto movie? Like, we're just doing Rey is Magneto from Apocalypse?
I didn't mention that during The Last Jedi cursed content, but those rocks were like PS1 rocks.
They are
like PS1
really
rocks
bad.
Here.
I don't know why they're so rough, but they are.
I feel like they do better CGI rocks in different parts of the movie, but they're just terrible.
As it turns out, maybe don't have your character float in midair and levitate objects around them for a protracted shot on screen. Because then it'll be harder to make it look passable.
But then they did that in Empire Strikes Back, and they just, you know, used real rocks.
We can't do that now. We have less than 2 years to film and put out this movie, which definitely
we can't use practical effects.
No.
So, I was a little shocked to the degree that they use Leia in this film.
Yeah, it was honestly distracting. Every time she came on screen, I was like, no, don't do that.
Where was a shot, reverse shot. One time she says something and they just repeat it back to her and then add context to pump it up a little bit.
Where she says very generic things and then we cut to the back of her head and someone who very clearly isn't her doing an impression of Carrie Fisher delivering a line.
It was pretty rough having her say a vague thing and then someone else filling out the rest of the conversation around it. It was pretty rough.
Yeah. And they did it even when they didn't have to, like that weird scene where the guy's like, everything's fucked, and she's like, be more optimistic. And he's like, okay.
Oh, that was optimistic
that everything's fucked?
That was great.
Yeah. Great news, everyone. Things are going swell.
That was my favorite call out to the Last Jedi moment.
I didn't even think about it like that. I just really thought that was funny in and of itself, but...
Because the Last Jedi, that was literally just a spaceship full of guys like, oh, this is sad.
Also, man, there are way more people in the Rebel fleet in this movie than were on that ship at the end of the Last Jedi.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up. That's hilarious. It's like, the Last Jedi didn't happen, did it?
Yeah, it pretty much didn't happen.
It happened in the way that it established some stuff that could be paid off or expanded on in some way here, like the Force Link mind meld thing that Rey and Kylo do that can now just be used to fight.
Yeah, no, it's really cool.
Oh man,
that was cool. No. That was a really
it's
cool.
It's so fucking cool.
It
and
is.
Also and the transporting of items.
Yeah, that was the one that pushed me a little bit. I'm like, okay.
That was the best.
Are we on like PS? Are we on like JRPG rules where you switch to the other team but you still have the same inventory? Is that what's going on here? Yeah.
I thought that was actually really incredible to take an element from The Last Jedi and develop it into a cool set piece or sequence. Like, I thought that was, like, it looked, look, it's just fucking Kino, man. Like, it just is.
Yes.
Like, that was that, real that good.
Just, oh, I grabbed the beads off of you from the Force Link. Now, scan these. We'll find out what planet they're on now. And I'm like, That's good. What the fuck is happening?
Yeah, that's good.
That happening, like that element of The Last Jedi was just handing Abrams a loaded gun he had never seen before. And just like, now this is on the table.
He's like, you gave me something I don't deserve.
I thought that was great. Okay, so here's the thing. I want to talk about this real quick. I've never had this desire in my life, but what I would really love to do is make an edit of these three films that cuts it into one film.
Okay.
And see how completely shit your pants insane it gets about halfway through. When it's just like, and we've hit the end of The Last Jedi, and now everything's a ghoulish nightmare of a movie.
It really is a ghoulish nightmare. But I want to watch it again a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. And see that.
I don't want to see it again enough to go see it in theaters, but I will probably watch it when it comes out on video.
So in that way, it actually beats out The Force Awakens for me because I didn't really have a strong desire to rewatch that one.
I like this more than The Force Awakens. This is my favorite one of the sequels.
Yeah. Okay. I can probably agree with that.
I saw The Force Awakens twice. I thoroughly enjoyed it. But then. Then The Last Jedi came out, which I came in excited and then went, this was all right. I don't think I need to see this anymore. Then it went to okay. Then we watched it a few weeks ago and went, wow. Wow. This is probably my favorite of those.
Yeah, I don't feel like there's any element in there that will make me go insane trying to rewatch it, like The Last Jedi.
Mm-hmm. It's probably my fourth favorite Star Wars film, maybe third. There's a lot of stuff in Return of the Jedi I just don't really
Return of the Jedi is, like, almost as broken as this.
Return of the Jedi might be more broken than this. It's not as dumb, but it's rough.
There's a lot of stuff, you know, like, the first act I don't really like, and the Endor stuff I'm not the biggest fan of, so I might end up liking this more, because if anything bad popped up here, the pacing is a nightmare Tokyo yeah. drift, so we'll be out of it within minutes.
That's true.
You're running into random bounty hunters and then getting them on your side in 45 seconds.
I liked the Ewok scene near the end where they show the Ewoks for a second.
It was good, yeah.
The most appropriate amount of time you would give to Ewoks.
Yeah, no, that's the truth.
We didn't get a scene of the fucking Gungans looking up at a Star Destroyer getting blown up.
I would have clapped. My theater was quiet. I would have clapped for those Gungans.
I wanted, on one hand, I'm like, it's good that they don't acknowledge it. The other hand, I'm like, yeah, render a Gungan and do it like insanely well. Make us see what those are supposed to look like. Or maybe make
it still
literal,
look bad.
Maybe make a actual costume.
Yeah. Yeah, make a physical prop for a Gungan.
That would have been
incredible. Holy shit.
Fuck. Oh, don't make man. Me want practical Gungan.
I mean, and here's the thing. Like, a lot of people are going to be like, oh, that's fan service. And I'm like, I don't know. Like, in a way, they're just citizens of the universe.
People are kind of warping fan service in a weird way with these films coming out. It's like, of course, there's fan service stuff. Like, oh, Chewie gets a medal. That's, you know.
Yeah,
that's
no,
a
that,
fan service. That's that a fan service thing to the 10th is, power.
Yeah.
But, oh, characters from the universe appear in this film. Like, good, I would hope.
Yeah, but like, you know, R2's in the movie, right?
Oh man, there's an X-wing in this. I've got some problems with that.
There's fan service in a movie that's a sequel to a 30-year-long franchise.
Yeah, that's disgusting.
And how dare
also,
it?
Bob 30.
I know
30.
What are we
42.
At?
42.
42. Okay.
42. Because that planet has the festival that's every 42
oh,
years.
Oh, I didn't even get
oh
that.
Oh, my God.
No.
I have to go. I can't even speak after that. So that is just the most fucking fucking bullshit I've ever fucking heard. Stupid.
I need to know
fucking...
if anybody else noticed this.
God damn it.
What?
When Kylo Ren becomes Ben Solo again, that apparently includes stopping off at the Gap on the way to Exegol.
Yes, he's like, I'm gonna go destroy Palpatine in a deep V-neck and then also do poses like I'm Han Solo now.
I called it like the standard white boy outfit.
He also healed his scar somehow.
Oh, Rey did that with the...
Yeah, Rey did
the,
that when she
the,
healed
the healing
it, when
thing
she
actually healed the
him.
Scar.
Oh my God, I didn't notice that until later on, so I was like, what happened?
He stopped for plastic surgery and to get a new pair of jeans.
Thank you.
Since we brought up the Force healing,
mm-hmm.
Rey being able to heal people with the Force and like wanting to help like an animal instead of just killing it, like happens a lot in the original trilogy. Like even Luke just fucking nukes that, what the hell is it called?
The Wampa, yeah.
No, the thing Jabba had. The Rancor.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's like, wow, this would be a really good and interesting character trait if she had started developing it in the first movie.
I mean, even in the second movie, because that's where you would expect that to take
movie.
Place. I feel like Rey herself doesn't have that much development in the second film. I feel like her character goes through the plot and the plot evolves because of it, but I feel like her character doesn't really evolve much in these films except this one.
The relationship she has between Kylo like develops a bit through the second film, but
that's true. Her relationship with Kylo evolves.
Yeah,
yes.
There's nothing that's singular to her. I think all of the Force healing stuff is really funny because of I'm convinced Disney timed some stuff related to The Mandalorian with this.
Oh.
Where a similar thing exists in that was shown in the episode that came out a day before this movie came out. And I'm like, why did this episode come out 2 days early? And now I'm just convinced that's why.
That's funny.
Yeah, because the Force healing thing is in the Clone Wars show.
Force healing is old as hell. That's right. Extended universe stuff. It's in countless games.
But
right,
yeah,
like every Dark Force has got it.
Yeah, but those none of those are canon anymore. Only the Clone Wars one is canon now, except for this and the thing in the Mandalorian, I guess.
Yeah,
we're debating canon it's while legends. Fucking Palpatine is the Monster Mash hooked up to a fucking Matrix machine
Man,
shooting lightning to VoIP and
hooked up on the robot Gladys thing.
Right.
Speaking of Palpatine. Yes. Holy shit, did he get owned? Like, he was just eradicated.
Yes.
Like, I don't think he had any legs for the first, you know, two-thirds of this movie. Some of his fingers were broken off and no pupils. I love the way they shot him in the beginning, where it's just flashes of light.
Yeah, no, it's really just cool.
It was really good.
I wasn't sure his mouth was moving at first. I thought it was like, is this just his corpse, but the dark side is so evil and powerful that he can talk through his corpse?
I imagine so, given the white eyes, the black lips.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's gross looking.
It's just, he is a corpse that just said, do it. Let me rise this fleet out of the ground.
Me and Dan were talking about how, yeah, he owned himself again. It was his lights, or somebody shooting lightning back at him.
Yeah, and somehow Mace using Windu, two lights.
The tech returned.
Somehow using two lightsabers at once to do it makes it super powerful when you reflect it.
Well, he has super lightning now, so the super lightning being reflected did more damage.
Oh,
Inatrice has got all the Jedi powers.
Rey thinking she killed Chewie because she accidentally activated Force lightning on that ship.
I'm gonna be real. I thought it got him, and that fucked me up for the 3 minutes it was happening.
Yeah,
I was like, whoa, they really did this. I didn't think the movie would. Angle.
I was like, no, don't take risks. Don't take risks. Oh, thank God they're not. Okay, good. I can't deal with this. I'm here to have fun.
I think that Hux gets a really good arc in this movie.
Yeah, no, and here's... We got to talk about this, because I've seen some people online saying that it makes no sense for him to be a spy. It's like, no,
sure
after The Last
bitch.
Jedi, it makes all the sense in the world.
Like, now, a little bitch. Kylo Ren mildly embarrassed him. Now he needs revenge.
He went from Emperor Snoke being his actual superior and Kylo being some little bitch he dealt with on the side to dealing with King Bitch for years. Like, we have a 2-movie buildup to he does not like Kylo Ren, and now Kylo's his boss at the end of The Last Jedi. He even fucking says in the film, I don't need you to win, or I don't want you to win. I need him to lose. Because no matter what, fuck Kylo Ren. Like, it makes so much fucking sense.
That was really great. I ended up getting confused at first because, I had to use the bathroom. And then I come back and they go, there's a spy, and they drop the head of the dude from the previous scene. I'm like, oh, is that the spy? So when he reveals it, I'm like, oh, shit.
Yeah, no, it's a fairly decent misdirect.
I appreciated his end entirely. It was incredible. Yes.
I really liked him going, shoot me in the arm. Finn shoots him in the leg. Fuck him.
And he's like, one shot is clearly going to be convincing.
He's so shitty at acting that the new guy
General
just
Pride.
Like, to fuck you, and just shoots him.
That was I loved this guy, and the fact that they're like, oh, he's an old Empire dude. No wonder he's on his shit.
Yeah, I'm like, is that actually an actress from back then? It might be. Okay.
It's a new character. Yeah, there was a background actor, but it's a new character.
It's the sort of thing where he says that, and me and Bob are just... we're willing to believe it because we can't prove him wrong,
right?
We're like, did he?
The first thing I did when I got back was message somebody who's a big extended universe being, was this fucking person in something? They're like, no, new character.
Okay. Sure.
I love the vibe of that council for the couple of scenes that where they actually show the First Order talking about things, where I'm like, oh, you're trying. You're not like shitting around. Kylo's not having a big temper
tantrum.
We're
cartoonishly evil. No, I love that they were all visibly on edge because they knew Kylo Ren had temper tantrum. And he did to that one guy and slammed him into the ceiling.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just like the vibe of them going, why the fuck are you trusting some zombie Palpatine? What are you doing?
I really do like that. Or they're just
we're
like,
winning. Also, who cares?
Also, that was another clapping moment where they almost, that guy that gets choked almost exactly says, well, this is insignificant. your stupid religion is pathetic compared to these weapons in episode 4. And then Vader chokes him.
It was that moment. Exactly. Yes. Okay. I had to look this up.
Okay.
The actor for Wedge Antilles did come back, and one of the old dudes in the background flying something was him. I was like, oh my God, is that him? And
yeah, it was. And I have to imagine they had to pay him a lot because he openly said he wanted nothing to do with The Force Awakens.
Yes. They're like, we need anyone back.
Yeah, when all the ships pop up, of the two people they show, he's one of them.
Very Kino.
It was, actually.
So unless somebody wants to get to another thing first, I'd like to point out the bit that I made my summary about.
Okay. Shoot.
Where they introduce love interests for Finn and Poe, just to go, look, they're absolutely not gay. Zero chance. They have the not gays hard. And I like this because it's like, oh, Disney made them do that in Kingdom Hearts 3.
Now, for Finn's, it's, I liked that they were trying to expand, do something with him a little bit, because he kind of got nothing in the second film, despite being on adventures and stuff. But I didn't really get any chemistry between him and the new girl that was also a stormtrooper. The horses.
They make some implication like that he is in love with Rey near the beginning of the movie. Like, I want, or he's not, needs to tell her something, and then they never really deliver on that.
No, don't worry, Bob.
Oh, J.J. Abrams has already revealed that one line where they're sinking into the quicksand.
Uh-huh.
He's like, I didn't get to tell you this. I had guessed what it was, and J.J. has revealed it's right. He wanted to tell Rey that he's force sensitive.
Yep.
Because throughout the movie, he keeps getting those feelings about different things. Like, he can sense when...
Like, you know, I get that that's the thing, but that's bizarre.
I mean,
that
if he had said that at the end of the film, it may have worked, but without it being in the film, it's...
Yeah.
Even more questionable.
Yeah, J.J. Abrams kind of has that problem, huh? With the Emperor's broadcast being in Fortnite.
I don't know where you would have put it, to be... Like, I feel like you add a chunk of this movie to fit it in properly.
I don't think Abrams made the decision to do the crossover with Fortnite.
Look, the trailer had Emperor's Broadcast. That's what it was.
Mm-hmm.
If I walked in that theater without seeing that trailer, I would have been like even more blown away at that opening.
I would have had to tweet today that Bob died in the theater.
The dead speak.
Except for Bob, he's dead for real.
Also, the fact they canonized Reylo at the last second. Just got to make sure everybody has the not gays.
There's a lot of moments, you know, where I don't think something necessarily hit. If I was to pin down one thing that did not work, it was they kiss and he drops dead within 1 second. I almost laughed.
Yeah.
I did laugh.
That was dysfunctional.
Why did you make him fall down like that? You could have just... You don't need to go this quickly for that.
One, they didn't sell Rey being hurt nearly enough, I think, for that scene to make sense. It was like, oh, he used his life? She just blocked some lightning and then kind of fell down.
But she was dead.
I feel like they should have had her have like a gaping hole in her stomach. And then he can heal that and bring her back to life and die. And I'll be like, okay.
That's why they had to like cut to like a hand shot.
Show
like
a little scratch heel.
Just to like show that's how she's getting resuscitated, because they made her die with her eyes open.
Yeah.
So this was like an easier way to convey it a bit better.
Two, here's the other big one. I am shocked that J.J. Abrams was self-aware enough to go, it'd be weird if Kylo was the one to kiss her. We have to have Rey initiate. And it was still weird.
I mean, to be fair, it absolutely would have been weirder if Kylo was the one, because it would have been like, you didn't reply to my DMs and now you're dead. This is consent.
I mean, this is basically like, Rey, I sacrificed my life force to heal you. Can I get a hello?
I donated all my force bits this month. Can I get a fucking kiss, you bitch?
So it makes sense given what she says earlier in the film, where she's like, I wanted to take your hand. But not Kylo's hand. It's like, I wanted to do this on my terms and not yours. Which was another Last Jedi type of thing where it's like, yeah, I didn't do that, but I totally wanted to do that, but it's different.
Mm-hmm.
Like when they had to reveal her lineage in this film.
Did anybody else think Spooky Ray was funny, where she has monster teeth.
it was a little funny when she got monster teeth.
I'm gonna be honest, I forgot about that part.
I thought that was neat.
She has the ridiculous double lightsaber.
I love the double lightsaber. It's like those smartphones that are coming out that are flip phones, where it's just like, oh shit, you can do that with that?
I found it a little strange that at the end of the movie, so we know that she's never getting another movie and everything, they give her a new lightsaber. Like, she actually gets her own lightsaber.
Yep, and she gets a color that's never been in a movie.
Okay, there's like 100 in the prequels, but I guess none of them...
They're all blue or green.
Except for Mace Jack. Windu.
Except for Mace Windu, who's raw.
Who has the correct color.
It's a good color. I like how it activates by spinning at the top.
There was no explanation for how the Luke's lightsaber got repaired, was there?
Nope.
It's just there.
Yep.
I think it was supposed to be one of them is Anakin's and one of them's Luke's. At least that's what I was seeing other people talk about.
Luke's is green.
Ah.
His Return of the Jedi lightsaber is not used by anybody in this movie.
So it's just gone. I think if they do another film featuring Rey, and I know they're not planning on it, her ability to just cause a sinkhole in the earth, like she did when she buried the lightsaber.
I was about to say that. It couldn't just be her digging a hole or putting it in like the wall of the house, like Luke had Leia's lightsaber hidden. It has to be her using the ground control powers to make it swallow them up.
They need to remind you how cool she is. And I'm like, you know what? That is cool. You're right.
I was just like, oh, that's Anakin's lightsaber. You're burying it in sand. I bet he doesn't appreciate that.
You know what happens with sand? It gets everywhere, you dumb bitch.
You'd think she'd know after the three completely different desert planets that she's been on over the course of these movies.
Three?
Yeah, three.
Oh, yeah, she was in two
Tatooine,
in this one.
Jakku, and whatever this one was that had the festival.
Do you
with
think
with the really cool sequence where they fly now?
Rey's lightsaber like has like that flip dial to spin it, like you twist the Rey. Do you think that automatically turns off if she drops it, or if it's a unique design?
Her force power keeps the valve from releasing it and turning it on, like turning it off. That's so when she drops it, her force power will no longer be able to go into the lightsaber to keep it from turning off. You're the one who asked.
Please shoot me. Why did you shoot me?
So a thing that looked really cool when Rey and Kylo Ren both were attacking each other and they blocked the blade with the force, and we saw like the blade having particle effects behind it, like it was getting pushed, the plasma of the blade.
Yeah.
I thought that looked real cool.
That fight on the bluff, like the destroyed Death Star, that whole fight was great. I think the only way you could have made that better is if you actually played that remix of Duel of the Fates they made.
Yeah, that would have been a lot better with a better track. I can't even really remember the track they played.
They made a remix of Duel of the Fates?
I will say I really liked a lot of the music they used. They kind of, because you know this is the end of the whole thing, they played a little bit of everything, like when they went into the destroyed throne room, they play the theme that played when Darth Vader dies, and that they had a really good usage of music across the whole film.
Can we talk about
they made a remix of Duel of the Fates for this movie?
Yeah, for the commercials. It's like a remix. It's a remix that then transitions into the Imperial March, I think, or the Empire theme.
Weird.
I watched that and went, I guess I gotta watch this movie as soon as possible.
It's with everything that Leia does in this movie. Her death scene is really awkward and strange.
Yeah. I don't think there's a single scene with Leia that isn't really bizarre. And I'm not saying that because she's dead. I'm saying because of how it plays into the story and how the dialogue is written. It's super weird.
It definitely feels like something that JJ probably just really wanted to do given what happened.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the film would have been better if they came up with something else. But I kind of respect the idea of like, no, I'm gonna I'm gonna put her in the movie and give her a somewhat prominent role in how things happen with her son in this film.
I think it was right on the edge of being too much. Like, if she had been in the movie just even a little bit more, I was like, oh, come on.
When the Falcon leaves after the first 30 minutes, I was like, okay, put the brakes on her and let's now they can breathe a little bit in terms of what how they're showing scenes and doing stuff. Because talking around that footage was really awkward.
I like that her body didn't disappear until Ben's did. That worked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I also think Chewie did some really good physical acting when Chewie found out.
Yes.
Yeah.
Also, Poe. Poe is kind of a quip machine in this, but that was like a moment where he had more like emotion.
I guess that's another example of The Last Jedi somewhat strengthening this, because, you know, he hung out with Leia a decent bit, as much as he could in that film. So it was believable for this to have affected him.
Oh, Poe fucks up and does a mutiny. He's the leader when Leia dies. Way to teach everybody a lesson about toxic masculinity, J.J. Abrams.
Tisk, tisk, tisk.
Why isn't Rose in charge? I was like, I can't top what Beal said, and then that occurred to me. I was like, oh yeah, I can. Pulls out gun.
Right. Oh,
stop,
man.
Stop attacking.
See, I'm attacking Feel here, not Rose. I feel like Rose okay, should have been used more in this movie. I do think as a character that was introduced as a supposedly main character of the prior film.
Yeah, that's the big thing about getting her sidelined that's weird. It felt like she's part of the cast now.
She got Jar Jar'd.
It's a shame. I think that's just my general feel about it. It's a shame, but at the same time, I don't know what I would have had her do.
Right. It's like the main crew got to actually go around this movie like it was a lot of time. Poe, Rey, and Finn all together.
Mm-hmm.
Like that actually happened.
Like some sort of outer space adventure.
Right.
Like some sort of fun group adventure.
Like what the first movie led into.
And the second movie completely abstained from, like it was fucking raised to know that abstinence was the only form of birth control.
Maybe.
And we didn't have that weirdo that betrayed them come back at all. The guy
DJ.
DJ.
I mean, he's dead. That ship got owned. He didn't make it through that.
It did get owned. I figured that he got off before that, but who knows?
BB-8 killed him.
You just didn't see the AT-ST step on him. I am very surprised with all the shit where Abrams is like, no, this is cool. Let me save it. Phasma, nowhere.
It was after, like, you can't bring her back again after what they did last time. Like, you can bring her back once.
Bring her back and make her like a fucked up Knight of Ren, who, by the way, all suck.
Wait, by the way, that she did live on in the spirit of the Knights of Ren. They were so useful.
Who all suck. They aren't even characters.
They were so useful. They were really good at following people around and doing nothing.
They look real cool.
They don't even look cool. They're so bad.
They're Dark Souls enemies.
Yes! No, they're the Surge.
Real quick, the moment where Rey fucking passes Kylo the lightsaber was the dopest motherfucking shit.
Yeah.
At that point, I'm like, Rian Johnson, you're all right. You got us to this moment.
That was such a fucking neat concept how that thing that happens worked into a set piece in the plot twice. You know, we had both the duel across dimensions, but also we're both in bad situations and we need to readjust.
And that just, I went, that's why she has two at the end of this film.
Yeah, I knew that would be why it was.
It's
as soon
just
as I saw Kylo Ren throw away his.
It was really cool. Fucking, it was really cool.
That and when he shows up, Palpatine goes, fucking just like last time, I'm gonna throw you in this hole.
So apparently, since they filmed so many endings and variations of endings for this, in some cuts, he does not get out of that hole.
What?
He just falls out of the movie, apparently.
That seems crazy.
Honestly, I feel like they should have kept that, but Bob just said it was crazy, so clearly there's some divide on this.
Like, I think that
yeah.
Like, he wouldn't need the come back and save Ray and die doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah,
that
and that's...
But if he just never showed up again, that'd be weird.
Bob, let me explain. You saw the planet, right?
Yeah.
He was thrown into a lightning pit. I don't think he's getting out.
All I'm saying is that Ben is all right. He's the best part of the sequels. He should have lived.
I agree with that. At some level, yeah.
We need the cutaway to him falling through the hole. It plays DBZ music as he's being electrified and screaming, and then he flies back out.
Does he get an internal monologue about how he used his rage to ascend, and then he goes Super Jedi?
Yes.
I'm just imagining him flipping through it like he fell through the dead zone.
Yes. He falls on the other side of the planet.
I'm not owned.
I feel so, first of all, I feel bad. I'm sorry, fans of The Last Jedi, who are having to hear us say things like, man, that thing from The Last Jedi sucked. I'm glad J.J. Abrams could use this element of it well in Rise of Skywalker.
I've seen
plenty of people going saying there was no redeemable part of that movie, where I go, no, there's plenty of tools and things that are recontextualized here or used well here. And not everything is thrown away. There are some parts where they go, that did happen, but it leads into this for character development. Like, the Luke stuff did happen,
yeah.
But he admits that he was wrong in some way and that his character grew after his death to accept certain
things. Well, not only that, that's the ending of that movie in a way. You know, instead of shutting everyone off and not participating, he does participate in the crappiest way that movie could do it, but still... He participates and he commits a self-sacrifice in order to save them. So,
did Kylo Ren ever figure out that Luke was dead?
Probably.
He figured out after he died. He was like,
Kylo Ren was like, oh, he projected himself super far. He surely can't survive that.
Why would anyone think that? That's crazy.
I mean, it happens again in this movie.
Snoke says something in the last movie where they talk about projecting things across the galaxy that if you abusing it to a certain level would doom yourself, because they set that up so that when Luke does it, it's like, yeah, he died. He went too far with that specific thing.
I like that those texts, the Jedi texts in The Last Jedi that were recovered during that.
Yeah,
she opens them up and reads them in this movie. Rey does.
Yeah,
yeah,
and they're written by Luke.
Yeah, I don't know why Yoda was like, oh, I don't know why Luke.
Some of them,
like,
it seems,
wasn't like Yoda. I wrote them. Why would I go back and read them? They're for future reference.
I'm guessing it was just like that one in particular.
Right? It's still just weird. Like,
Yoda comes up and he's like, you know, your diary is also in there. And he's like, no!
The sacred text!
Okay, you've made that a lot better.
And my second thing, which I was struggling to get to, is, man, J.J. Abrams opened the door for... There's like a million expanded universe authors rubbing their hands together going, yes, yes, when they saw Palpatine nuke a fleet.
Yeah, no, that shit is outrageous. There has never been a more ridiculous thing in any Star Wars film ever.
Because that comes right after they're giving up hope. They were setting up the fact that we tried calling for help once and it didn't work. I'm like, okay, you're going to get some help. One, I couldn't believe the amount of help that showed up.
Yeah, right. That was huge.
Well, Lando's very persuasive. He fucked a lot of old ladies on a lot of planets in order to get that fleet.
Last time, they didn't have Lando.
Last time, they didn't have Lando.
They played the music for maximum effect to make me love that scene. And then they're like, whatever, one X-Wing can take out one fucking Star Destroyer. You just shoot that gun and it'll just blow up. How does Palpatine win here? Oh, why can he do that?
the ship's exploding if you shoot their gun. On the surface seems very video gamey, and who knows, maybe that was J.J. Abrams thinking and not what I'm thinking of, but I'm like, oh good, that also explains why they never did it before. It's a gigantic weak point, and then you wasted a gun. With the Death Star, you build a big station around it.
Right.
You know, that makes sense, especially for Palpatine, who even in Return of the Jedi is like, fucking whatever, I'm gonna win. Who gives a shit? He's super overconfident about everything.
Yeah, no, that's him to a T.
I'm kind of surprised Palpatine's entire goal wasn't even taking things over. It was just kill everyone. I lost, so everybody loses. Fuck all y'all.
Kill everyone who doesn't fall in line.
Right.
No, I thought it was just kill everyone.
No, literally, it's like
there would be a or.
Right, but they have that line about anyone who doesn't submit, just blow up the planet.
Sure.
They're like, it's not the first order, it's the final order.
This is a very simple plan. You're on our side now. If you have a problem with that, we can hit this button.
Order 67.
You're gonna kill me?
I am genuinely surprised nobody activated Order 666. Or not 666, but just 66. I'm surprised they didn't bring that back. Because if you're going to bring back anything from the prequels, and I don't think anything in this is even from the prequels.
Well, you talked about how he quoted the prequels at the beginning.
He literally quoted.
Which was hilarious. But that's like the only time. And I'm like, that's another good Palpatine moment. Bring that one back.
They're like, they wanted to answer the question of what kind of Palpatine we get in here. And this, like, quotes episode 3.
The good one.
That's what I want. I want that.
The good one. We're the only good part of the prequels.
Just think about how he got paid, like, probably $50 million or some shit. To sit in a chair or whatever for, like, 2 afternoons. And that was it. It was great.
I mean, he's in the movie almost more than I expected, because he's in the beginning right away,
right.
And then he's actually in a good chunk of the finale.
Yeah, I didn't think that once like the opening crawl leaked and I saw that, I was like, oh, I guess he must be in more of this movie. Before then, I was like, I assumed that like the beginning of Act 3, Palpatine would be revived in a form where he actually had some presence.
Turns out he was just already there. Thanks, Fortnite.
So, he grows Snokes and tubes.
Yeah.
I don't know what the deal with that was.
It's just so funny. They're like, so here's my take on it. My take on it is because we threw away Snoke without really developing him as a character in The Last Jedi. Like, he has no backstory. He has no sense of history. He has no sense of a place in the struggle. Like, he literally is his role of the Emperor, and the Emperor himself in the original trilogy. I don't know. You get a larger sense there, I feel. This is the movie just going, so he's not a character. Let's have 100. He was grown in a tube.
I like that they really hammered that home, but I think there was 2 of them in one tank. So it wasn't even like the normal tank.
One was upside down.
Yeah.
Where you have like a single body in each tank.
It's absolutely nuts.
I'm like,
Ryan Johnson thought it was disposable, so we're gonna make it canon,
right?
How many Snokes have they gone through? Does he just decay incredibly fast, and they need to keep replacing him? But this is the first time anybody saw him die.
That's a great question.
That brings up the question of like, did the First Order just go through like 8 Snokes without knowing?
Let's see.
Were there any like action set pieces that stood out, like there's any that you know you thought were particularly cool? Because I liked the speeder chase one on the desert planet a lot.
Yeah, no, that was really well put together.
When I watched the little trailer of it they put together where they show the beginning of that, I thought that was going to be an exhausting set piece just because I didn't find the beginning of it very good, but as it evolves, I really enjoyed it.
It was really, really fun at how strong the jetpack guys were and how they ate shit harder than I think most people in a Star Wars movie could eat shit.
The guy that spirals out screaming and hits the cliff face and explodes.
Where he's just some sort of explosive human tetherball almost spinning around in midair and slamming into a wall.
He became a Force Unleashed 2 again, yes.
He blew up. He had a bigger explosion than a TIE fighter.
With a... An ex- a deflating balloon, but explosive.
A lot of people eat shit bad.
Yeah, I know. I think more people ate shit in this movie than any other movie, as evidenced by Palpatine ear-raping lightning the entire fleet.
Okay, my favorite thing, my favorite, like, fight-related thing in this movie, and it was in The Last Jedi, too, a little bit, is Kylo Ren's main move being the death hug, where he, like, puts his arm around your back like he's hugging you as he's shoving the lightsaber through your chest.
Oh, yeah, the intro that was on, like, Mustafar.
It's on Mustafar that is nowhere in the movie.
Which is, like, of course, a Sith Wayfinder would be on the Darth Vader planet.
Right.
But that, he does it to people in the intro. He does it to two of the Knights of Ren at the end. He does the death hug.
It's very cool.
It's cool. It's he's combining wrestling with sword fighting.
You can just, like, imagine him going, shh, sleep now. It's fine. Just close your eyes. I love you.
The opening of this movie is really strong. Like,
yeah.
That level of this dead speak going straight to Kylo Ren murdering people on this planet and then to the music video planet.
Yes,
it was all just like, whoa.
That was the strongest 5 minutes I've seen in years.
It was the dead speak, huh? It was the spin dash of storytelling. It went from 0 to 100 immediately.
You can tell, like, that,
wow,
that JJ went, all right, I'll come back. I didn't want to come back, but I'll do it. But I'm going to make 2 movies.
I feel like it really feels like JJ wanted to do the whole series. Like, I think it's crazy they didn't pay him to do it. And that's probably what happened.
Part
they probably
of me
just didn't want to pay for it.
I mean, yeah, Abrams would have absolutely been more expensive than Rian Johnson and Colin Trevorrow. That's just
it. Almost think if you watch The Force Awakens, it feels like he was maybe doing a layup that Rey was a Palpatine even there.
Right. Right. We've had theories for a while.
So when it was starting, I was like, I buy this. I'm expecting this almost when they drop that.
I think the guy in the theater right behind us was like, I knew it.
Yeah. That was way too funny.
While I was walking out, a guy was like, wow, I was so shocked. I didn't think she'd be a Palpatine.
I'm like, we meant to watch it with very different crowds, feel.
I've seen a lot of people back when The Force Awakens came out thinking, like, maybe she's, like, a Kenobi of some sort.
Yeah.
But then plenty of people going Palpatine. So it was kind of like a...
It was a toss.
One of the two. Yeah, but it was a toss-up between the two.
That's the thing. They should have been no one.
That's more interesting.
Yes, that's
what I
heard.
You have so
much
more to write off from that, right? That goes anywhere?
See, and that's the thing. Like, there's nothing interesting to develop off of that. That's one scene of staggering disappointment. That's not a theme.
It gives her something to wrestle with.
Not for long. Like, I feel like The Last Jedi didn't even give that room to breathe.
Right, because that was in the midst.
I just meant the fact that she learned she's a Palpatine. That's something she has to wrestle with.
Oh, you mean when this movie actually did do something with it?
Yeah. I mean, when this film essentially went, yeah, your name's Rey Hitler.
Yeah.
And she had to wrestle with, Which, she's, that being said, I kind of wish at the end she just said what her real last name was going to be instead. Like, I feel like
that. I mean, it is. That's her name now. She took it.
I equated it to the ending of Clue when the guy's like, I'm going to go home and have sex with my wife. Smiles, freeze frame, credits.
I like it. She even stole BB-8. That's Poe's.
Yeah, why didn't she steal the other one? She made friends with it.
You mean the one voiced by J.J. Abrams?
Oh, God, I was trying to, like, okay, well, J.J. voiced somebody in this. Who was it?
It was the fucking wheel droid.
That thing was called Dio?
Oh, the wheel droid who was abused.
Oh, that's good.
Also, John Williams was in this movie. He was conducting things at the festival. They were able to, they fit him in there.
When they, like, wipe to the festival planet, I saw a desert. I saw, like, the vague outline of the scene because my eyes took it all in. And as my eyes were telling me what I saw, for 1 second, I was like, are they fucking going to a pod race?
You know what? With that speeder scene, too, I'm like, they could have easily done transition from pod racing to this do this.
Before we get too far away from the whole who Rey is,
mm-hmm.
I've seen other people online talking about how Rian Johnson's whole thing was anyone can be a hero, of her not having to have blood to, or blood of a special kind.
Yeah, I've
powerful.
Seen that a lot.
But and there's just like, not a single line of dialogue in that fucking film that reflects that.
Right, like there's nothing to hold that up. Nothing's heroic in that movie even.
People are if in she, love with an idea.
Right, like an there's an idea there.
That may exist within the text, but probably doesn't.
Like because in Rose's this, character arc.
okay, but yeah, it's the fact that, oh, she isn't anyone special according to that movie, but she is here, so they say, all right, I guess the message is that JJ values people who are, you know, the important, you know, important people. You can't do anything great unless you have a lineage. And I'm like, no, I just think he wanted to have a conflict, and you can get a good conflict out of this.
Right. I mean, her being a Palpatine is an interesting contrast. Not only because, of course, that means the good guy's a Palpatine fighting their... Yeah. Anyway, it's complicated.
She fucks.
I hate that. That is the worst part of the movie. Me having to confront the fact that Sheev Palpatine fucked at some point.
Before or after Mace Windu melts his face.
Let's check out how old Rey is.
It would have had to have been after. It has to have been after.
It's after.
I'm ovulating. Do it.
I mean, they could have just—he could have done that thing like with Anakin, where somehow him and Sidious impregnated the Force.
I don't know what the—you know what? I don't know what the official answer to that is. I don't want to know what the official answer to that is.
Okay.
Right, let us know in the comments down below.
No, I won't read it.
Don't do that. I'm not reading it.
So this is the first one of the Star Wars movies where we get a character who's always masked, and they actually get to do things and aren't just an embarrassment.
Oh yeah, the like Poe's
The spice
friend,
trader,
I guess.
Heterosexual shackle, yes.
Yes, that too.
Heterosexual shackle. He gets shut down at the end of the film. He's giving her his language like, you, me, huh?
Yeah,
and she's like, no, not
I really like
once.
That.
That was
but his expression
hilarious.
His expression wasn't like, oh, it was like, I'll try again later. See if you're up for it then.
Giggity.
He's like, I'm busy now, but eventually.
Eventually, you'll change your mind. I'll be back later.
I fucking love thee. I'm going to give you this coin that'll make it so you can land on him. Imperial ships.
It was pretty
okay. That
was the most MacGuffin motherfucking thing in this film.
That was the most
probably.
Video game we've been.
That coin bothers me because it's one of the bigger problems I have with the sequels as a whole, which is like you're given absolutely no sense of what life is like after the Empire is gone, or what when the First Order is around.
Yeah. Like with Palpatine coming back, they put no effort in explaining these things at all.
I mean, in any of the sequels, none of the sequels do it even.
Yeah, yeah, I know.
So I'm
like in the same way that Palpatine thing exists, the sequels have made no effort in explaining the state of the universe.
I think that was an overcorrection from like, well, people hated the politics stuff in the prequels.
Yeah, they just put all this shit in the books. Like, you have to read like, books to know that, like, Leia was thrown out of the Republic because they found out her dad was Darth Vader. And they decided, we're getting rid of all of our weapons because there's no more Empire.
That's so dumb.
But then you have the girl, the master girl, talking about, like, I'm going to go live in the colonies. I have this coin to get me into them. And I'm like,
right.
What? The hell's that?
Yeah, no, it was a little out there. I was like, I like having this bigger sense of world, but they needed more to do that.
I liked that planet a lot. It had a really good atmosphere since it was under like First Order control. It had a really good vibe to it. Something the sequels have not had.
We had a C-3PO in a big hood. It was really funny.
That was the best shit.
That scene near the end was Lando talking to the black lady stormtrooper.
Mm-hmm.
Was really weird. And it was like, is this a weird sequel hook?
It seems like it it seems like in a longer cut of this film, they're going to say, yeah, that was my daughter that was taken away or something like that.
Yes, that was my immediate thought. It was like, are they leading into this being his daughter?
God, yeah, no, yeah, I really don't like that line. I really wish it didn't exist in this film. That just is such a weird thing.
Let's go find out. Are you just trying to fuck her?
It's either she's his daughter, or he's like, hey.
I could be your daddy.
Lando, you're 80.
I know.
Hey, he still has it.
He does.
That didn't stop Palpatine, apparently.
Palpatine's like 800 years old or some shit. This is not great.
1,000 years of Sith blue balls reside in me.
We have weird Sith monkey men all around us.
Dude, fucking caught up with that. Was out.
It was really cool.
As a fan of Planet of the Apes, I loved it.
That was some Kingdom Hearts shit.
That was yeah, some extra level shit for sure. Jesus Christ.
At first I thought they might have been ghosts, but then all the rocks hit them and they screamed, so it can't be ghosts.
You know, if they put Star Wars into Kingdom Hearts, they can have that monkey come back as like an evil gummy ship designer.
God, that world would be so cool. It's the most final level thing I've ever seen in one of these movies.
Don't worry, KZ. Tetsuya Nomura also has seen Rise of Skywalker and also thinks that planet looks really cool.
Anyone with, I think, a pulse can just look at it and go, yeah, Exegol is really cool.
Like the scene where Rey's walking in and like there's the lightning in the very distant horizon that's like just a little tiny part of the screen is really great.
Mm-hmm.
It's so everything is stimulating, even if you ignore the flashing lights and the, you know, the things that they present to you, just the way it's shot.
Yeah,
the flashing lights, there was a big sign on the doors of my theater warning you of epileptic warnings beyond the norm for Rise of Skywalker.
Well, that's good. They have an epilepsy planet. It's a good thing they were warned. But yeah, no, I keep telling people, like, I'm not someone who really liked how the Star Trek films from Abrams looked. This looks even better, I feel, than The Force Awakens in many, many different ways, because the planets get crazier in this one than they did in that one, and so many different dialogue scenes are shot with such great composition and everything else, everything from lens choice to camera movement and composition looks really great in this in a way that I'm shocked that nobody ever seems to talk about. Like, and once again, I'm not a Star Wars fan. I'm not a J.J. Abrams fan. These look really great. I'm just waiting for, because I noticed some people are like, he moves the camera too much. I'm waiting for his
Lens flares.
I've heard he moves the camera too much and there are lens flares. I'm like, are we just going to move on from lens flares to say he moves the camera too much because the lens flares aren't egregious anymore?
Yeah, I was like, I didn't even notice lens flares in this one. Like, they might be there, but they're not.
They're subtle.
Right. It's not freaking, it's not Star Wars.
I can't even think of one.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Nothing comes to mind.
It's incredibly
subtle. Like, there's always that one shot from Starkiller Base about to fire on the planets where you're like, yeah, that's the big lens flare shot.
I can remember a couple from The Force Awakens, I feel like.
Yeah, The Force Awakens definitely has them. This movie really doesn't. And honestly, guys, if we're going to talk about, like, they move the camera too much, I feel like honestly, they don't. Moving the camera too much lands somewhere around Michael Bay tier when you're using it. When you're moving the camera, not because it conveys an emotion, but because you didn't want to have a boring scene where you stick a camera on a tripod and point it at some people. Like, usually
you're
the camera...
You're trying to trick people into thinking action's happening.
Right. Normally, the movement in this, like, every scene I saw and can remember, every shot, the camera movement is completely motivated not only by the action of the scene, but the mood of the scene. So that's why I find it staggering when people are like, no, The Last Jedi has great cinematography. And I'm like, not really. I mean, the salt planet looks great. The hyperspace jump looks cool. And the throne room's dope as hell. But every dialogue is so bog fucking standard. And a lot of the space battles look bad. Like the bombing run, right? It's just staggering to me. I feel like these movies should get more credit for looking really good. But I digress.
Again, they don't...
What's up?
They don't
Bob?
Have people who have to stand for them
and throw out a word they learned from a YouTube video essay when they know nothing about filmmaking.
Right.
Yeah.
People will see this movie, and I've like everybody I know who likes Star Wars, like, that was a lot of fun. Like, they're excited about it because it was cool and fun. Yeah. Unlike the last one. So you don't need to come up with lots of weird excuses for why it was good or how it was good.
Right.
It's just like, I enjoyed it.
Right.
Like, you had a soft reboot with 7. And after that, I went, I'm fine with you doing episode 4 for the most part all over again with a new set of characters. I just want a conclusion or a next chapter that is just as fun as this, but it's actually a little bit different. And we got a bad thing 2 years later, but the 9th film ended up giving me what I wanted, an entertaining ride that felt different in a lot of ways.
Yeah, I think, you know, we brought up countless plot problems, and there really are a lot.
Yeah.
And how, like, not even calling it a plot problem, but really just the power level jump that, as KZ described, as the shonen series is ending in 5 weeks.
Yeah, that's what the feeling this film has, because the pacing for that first 40 minutes has to go, there are Sith relics, Palpatine's back, he has a legion of things, you need to go here, this person's training this person. There's a lot of stuff that they hammer and people say, like, one sentence, and that's all they're doing.
I'm surprised they're still afraid to say holocron in the actual movie.
I was like, Sith, fuck, is that Sith a Sith
Wayfinder?
Holocron? No, it's a Wayfinder. And I was like, okay.
Yeah, that is weird.
It's just annoying at that point. I don't know. I don't know why they wouldn't say it.
I just assumed it was a different thing because I don't know Star Wars enough, I guess.
I feel like it looks.
It is a different
exactly
thing,
like the thing.
It kind of emits a lot of holocron energy.
I think it's really funny. It's a triangle that you put 18 cords into it.
I gotta admit, the Wayfinder for me was just like, yes, I also played Mass Effect 2. That was cool.
Okay.
The whole plot is getting a thing that lets you fly into the galaxy core around a million black holes to find the secret ancient evil alien planet.
I think that was an Outlaw Star. Yeah, I think that's what the main lady in Outlaw Star was.
Do you think J.J. Abrams likes Outlaw Star? I hope
he
does.
No way. There's no way J.J. likes anime.
He met Kojima.
Kojima doesn't make anime, he makes video games.
Sure, neither of them have ever even seen an anime.
I thought it was really cool that Luke gives Rey his X-Wing at the end.
I thought it was funny. Luke looked so schlubby when he was lifting the X-Wing out of the water. He was like, his eyes were half closed, he looked half asleep, was like, Rey, get me another whiskey sour.
I like the thing, he's like, man, Yoda made this look easy.
Come on, man, Palpatine is dead. He lifted up 100,000 Star Destroyers.
Yeah, well, he has like a million Sith inside his tummy.
God, that's so insane.
It really is, and that's how you can describe most of this film. But I feel like we could sit here talking about insane little details in this. I think we should get some closing statements, though. But before we get to that, is there anything you guys wanted to bring up before we bring this over hour and a half long podcast to a close?
I would say the whole sequence in which they are they're trying to get the dagger back from Kylo. So they go on that ship. I liked that sequence a good bit because I had the whole Hux stuff and it had them battling their way through getting Chewie back. Mainly for the line Finn go where they go, you know where to go? No, follow me though.
that was
stuff like that. I really like that, and I think overall I think they gave Finn some good stuff to do here, but I still feel like he wasn't used to his fullest potential in this. I feel like he peaked in the first film.
I would agree with you. The first film had the most development for him. It's a shame we didn't find anything to do with him after that, or maybe we just didn't have time.
Yeah, no, it feels like they're so close to touching on it with having another stormtrooper or former stormtrooper come in to talk to, but it literally just goes over all the same points. So it's almost like, don't even have her. Like, that just takes away his the thing that makes him special.
Yeah, I feel like
it's
that
weird.
Wasn't really necessary. I am grateful that the other two, Poe and Rey, got a good amount, especially Poe. I'm pretty satisfied.
Yeah, this is the first the movie Poe gets trilogy. To do stuff.
Yeah, I'm satisfied with where he is throughout the three films now.
Mm-hmm. That's fair. How about Rose?
As a side character, I think they did pretty well. She got a lot of screen time. I don't remember any of the lines because they were ripped from a children's cartoon.
Okay.
Look, JJ had to seal her way in the chest the movie he didn't work on, didn't want to deal with.
That is really how it feels like, because it's not even like, I have to go on this other mission. It's like, Leia wants me to stay here and look at these papers. Gotta have somebody here to look at these papers.
Leia said some vaguely racist shit about me staying here and doing some Asian math on these schematics. I don't fucking know, but she'll get real upset if I go with you guys. And Finn's like, oh, that's a shame.
I just hate to see it, you know?
Finn's like, that's white people. Well, I gotta go.
What was she gonna do? We don't need another person with a gun. We have plenty of those.
She's literally got like a ball and chain on her leg.
She's chained up to a fucking desk that has like a fucking ZX Sinclair or something. It's got fucking a ZX Spectrum on it.
She's hey guys, can we unlock this ball and chain? No, the way to unlock it's written in Sith.
Any other tangents anyone wanted to bring up? Okay, so we should probably get to
There was one thing that I just think is funny and kind of shows the seams of this film is the whole idea that everyone forgot about the Jedi in between the end of the original trilogy into this one. However, you can still have characters going, how do you have a droid that knows Sith? Somehow the Sith have still been a normal thing that people know about still.
I feel like even in the prequels, they weren't supposed to be something just anybody knew about. Like, even the Senate, which is why that gag in this is weird to me.
Which gag?
Him not being able to translate Sith because of a government order.
Oh, okay. Okay. I don't see that as a gag.
It didn't even feel like a gag. It felt like Palpatine did this shit on purpose. And I took it as, like, a serious thing of, like, yeah, this is the big bad guy thing. Of course, you know, you need to close loose ends, I guess. But the fact that what's her name, the helmet woman, just goes, why you got someone with Sith stuff? What are you doing?
Fucking Palpatine's out here and he's like, I feel like we should all respectfully mute every Twitter account run by a Sith. This couldn't possibly bite anyone in the ass.
The blockchain.
Do you think them going to the crime planet to get the droid smith was like Abrams going, I'm going to do what the Last Jedi did, but properly?
I feel like there's a lot of planet hopping, so I didn't really take it as that. But I would like to note that throughout the film, I enjoyed every time we went to a planet and something was accomplished.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it felt like we were going to lots of planets and lots of things were happening.
I liked each planet. There's not a moment in this film where I feel like it particularly dragged.
Yeah, it doesn't drag at all.
No, it's the opposite. It feels like you did some hardcore fucking drugs.
Please let go.
Like, Ray gets
feels like somebody cut your brake line, and sometimes you're able to get up against the curb, so you're going a little bit less fast.
So what you're saying is this film is the equivalent of hydroplaning for 2.5 hours.
Yes.
This film is the equivalent of that initial D scene where he locks his wheel into the gutter so he can drift faster.
I love that they get stuck on that. They get to that planet where the Death Star has crashed.
Yeah.
And they're like, we have to wait till morning. And Ray's like, no, and get the boat and keep the movie going.
Yeah, no, as it turns out, that was an interesting characteristic for her. You know, like it was a trait, a character trait. And it was like, oh, hey, she has more of a character in this film because of that. I appreciate this. Her impatience is something new.
Yes.
And it felt natural. It didn't feel like a character trait out of nowhere. It felt like she's been sitting on the edge of her seat and she can't stand to not go now. And yeah, I liked that.
I liked everything with that. I think the sight of the final battle of episode 6 just revisiting that between the music and the whole, the general feeling behind it of, oh, there's just a secret room on the left that you just nobody saw.
You have to be
it's got
a powerful
an evil version
Sith
of you in there. It's got Rey Alter in there.
Yeah,
yeah, it's Rey Alter.
It's the inverse Yoda cave. You know, he's got his own Sith cave there on the Death Star.
It's just like mine, except a raw version of you shows up.
Yep.
That room was like where the DLC is put when a game gets post-launch DLC.
Oh my god.
It's like where you go in Bloodborne to get to the old hunters.
Exactly. That,
this is JJ's version of the mirror room for the previous movie.
Way more raw.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, obviously.
A lot of his stuff is, I'm going to do something that was in The Last Jedi, but I'm going to put fighting in it.
But Evil Rey has monster teeth. Why does she have monster teeth?
Why'd you remind me about that?
Because feel.
She like snarls. It's like, argh.
This is
action comedy.
Feel. JJ also plays Fate Go.
Oh, no.
Well, Palpatine doesn't have monster teeth.
I don't think he has teeth.
Is this
anymore.
Fable rules where if you're a dick, you just develop evil attributes?
Yes.
That's how it works.
And it's always been that. But yeah, we need to wrap this up. We should get to some closing statements and
do some
numbers.
But
what's up,
Bob? Before you do that, ask me who my favorite Sith character was.
Who's your favorite Sith character in The Rise of Skywalker?
Sith Rogan.
Thank you, Bob.
I hate you. I'm going to knock you out, Bob.
Does Sith Rogan also do weed?
Bob and I were driving. Bob and I were driving to the theater, and I was like talking about Sith Rogan just does a lot of weed and is the shittiest Sith that's ever existed. He's in the film, and he's just like, yeah, I don't know. I don't really want to deal with Kylo. So if you could overthrow the Empire, that would be real great. That would be doing me a favor. And then fucking Hux did that, and I lost my mind.
I'm just thinking of the Seth Rogen laugh, but evil.
Oh my god.
Like, okay. You add like Kylo Ren-esque reverb echo effect to his laugh.
Jesus Christ. We gotta stop this.
I know, let's, fucking get us there.
Let's go ahead and lock these scores up with some final statements. I'll go first, because the moment I hand this podcast to anyone else, the tangent will come up. My primary conflict with this film is that I found it highly enjoyable and delightful, but as a story, it doesn't really deliver that well on certain angles. There are such gaps in logic, per se, such moments where it just doesn't feel like it had enough time. It doesn't feel like it's built up to very well. And the power gap is absolutely farcical in the grand scheme of Star Wars. That's the main reason why I'm putting it at a 7, but it's the one out of the whole series the new trilogy, the sequels, that I would actually watch again, because it's some fever dream of really cool visuals for 2.5 hours straight and really raw shit nonstop. And that's why I want to put it at a 7. But the more I talk about it, the more I'm like, should it be at an 8? Should it? It's complicated. But yeah, I'm going to go ahead and leave it at a 7.
Yeah, I think you should put it at a 9 personally.
I'm going to go ahead and leave it at a 7, though. I feel like it just, if you just had the film as a story, it would be goulash, and it is goulash, but it's really fucking raw goulash with great visuals and hilarious moments nonstop throughout. And it's got some good character moments compared to prior films. So I'm going to go ahead and leave it at a 7. Highly recommended if you don't have a stick up your ass. Bob, what's your final statement and score?
I'm going to stick with my 8. This movie is, like I've said many times, it just really enjoyable. Like, mm-hmm. It's got a ton of good moments. Even the callback stuff that's there just to make people clap, like the Han Solo thing, that got me. That was really good. Like, even though
we didn't even talk about the Han Solo thing.
We didn't, and that was really
good. I cannot believe he got back in that, because he was so done. He was done before The Force Awakens.
Yeah, no, that was amazing. And it's just, if it weren't a mess in other ways, didn't feel so rushed, it could easily be like a 9 or 10, but it's held back by various things. I still definitely want to see it again, though.
Mr. Feel, get your score and lock it in.
I'm locking in my 8. I don't think this is necessarily a good movie, but it is an unbelievably entertaining movie. I almost kind of want to rank it higher, but I feel like I should probably make the cutoff for movies that feel like they took a speedball off at 8.
Yeah, that's fair. That's kind of where I'm sitting too, of like, what an unbelievably entertaining mess. Okay. And I guess that brings us to KZ to lock in his final score and do his final statement.
Okay, I'm going to continue to lock mine in at an 8 because I feel like I shouldn't jump to a 9 just because it was, you know, the story is very messy. This is possibly the best result we could have gotten with the situation that JJ was dealt.
Mm.
Then I can't go above an 8 because at that point I should be expecting a check from Disney personally. But overall, I had a really great time with this. It's probably my third favorite Star Wars film, since I think Return of the Jedi has some problems. And throughout this, it's a very entertaining watch. I'm looking forward to seeing it again when it's, you know, out on video. And just overall, it felt like a finale. I felt really satisfied with everything they wrapped up, and it felt like they continued with The Force Awakens, which I think is great, because the real continuation of that didn't really feel like it continued that at all.
Yeah. I kind of have to agree, this is probably up there in my favorite Star Wars films. I mean, once again, as I stressed all throughout Star Wars month on Gigaboots, not a huge fan of the Star Wars films. I just think they're a great setting, potentially, for films, comics, and video games. And sometimes it works out, and other times it doesn't.
I'm so relieved I like this film. I
didn't expect
going
it.
Going, nah, they're going to fuck it up. Like, I wasn't very optimistic.
It was way better than I was expecting.
As it turns out, if they hadn't opened with the rawest planet to ever exist in Star Wars, I would have spent way more of the film with a gut-wrenching feeling that it was just going to suck shit.
Right, but instead this thing hits the ground running. They're trying to convince you, yeah, no, this isn't... This is actually going to be entertaining.
Right. But Bob,
it's a sprint.
It's not art. It's just entertaining. And that's bad.
No.
Here's why.
I'm...
Star Wars is a popcorn film.
What? Ugh. Since when?
In my 4-hour essay about the depth of Star Wars, I will put you to sleep.
Oh, thank you. I'm so tired.
What do you think the weekend-to-weekend drop-off of this will be? Because I bet it'll be less than any of the others.
So far, it's making jack shit.
I know, but I mean, next weekend, what percentage it will drop.
I think it might go up next week, honestly.
I also think it's possible.
Yeah, okay. I think after word of mouth gets out from this.
I imagine a lot of people just didn't want to go. And then the people who did go will be like, hey, you should actually see this one.
Yeah, I think the drop, I don't know if it'll go up necessarily, but I think it will not even close be the same drop as The Last Jedi. Because I feel like a lot of people got burned and went, I don't want to see this again. This, I think a lot of people share our sentiment that people want to see it again. Like, the audience rating is pretty high on this one.
Yeah, it's like the reverse of The Last Jedi, where the audience rating was abysmal and the critic.
That's the only thing that gave me hope. I'm like, reviews are shitting on this. It must rule. And
it is the exact opposite of The Last Jedi.
You know that what trained funny. You on this, Casey? You know what trained you?
What?
Our experience with watching 90s films for Cursed Content Club.
Yeah.
You're right. As it turns out, reviewers are wrong about 90s films and what a good Star Wars film is.
And possibly also video games.
They can't appreciate the joy in the Gundam wing of Star Wars.
Yes!
I'm going to shit my pants. Oh, Kylo was thrown off a cliff. Thrown off a cliff. Stands up. Theme song plays in the background.
Could you fucking imagine if it went full G Gundam and fucking Palpatine has some suit that's put on him to pilot a Death Star?
Kylo and Rey team up to do the Love Love Ten Kyoken into him.
So, breaking news that I've just been sent. That's related to this podcast.
What?
In one of the new books, they do say Lando had a daughter that was taken by the First Order.
Yes!
Oh my god, of course.
Fact-checking saves the podcast.
Well, that's going to do it for this. Thank you all for listening. Feel free to type comments in below. It means something. Be sure to like this video.
I'll read it.
The main reason you should only like this video, disliking, is anger. And anger leads to fear, hate. Darkness, hate, suffering.
Dark side, anger. something.
Anger leads to hate. It was fury leads to anger. Anger leads to hate.
I did it wrong as a bit. You're just doing it wrong.
Have a great night, everyone.